My dear King Brahma, the firstborn, on being questioned by Narad, exactly appraised him on this subject, as it was directly spoken by the Lord to his son, who was impregnated with Vedic knowledge from his very birth. And purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. As soon as Brahma was born of the abdominal lotus petals of Vishnu, he was impregnated with Vedic knowledge. And therefore, he is known as Veda Garbha or a Vedantist from the embryo. Without Vedic knowledge or perfect, infallible knowledge, no one can create anything. All scientific knowledge and perfect knowledge are Vedic. One can get all types of information from the Vedas, and as such, Brahma was impregnated with all perfect knowledge, so that he was able to create. Thus, Brahma knew the perfect description of creation as it was exactly appraised to him by the Supreme Lord Hari. Brahma, on being questioned by Narad, told Narad exactly what he had heard directly from the Lord. Narad again told exactly the same thing to Vyasa, and Vyasa also told Shukadev exactly what he heard from Narad. And Shukadev was going to repeat the same statements as he had heard from Vyasa. That is the way of Vedic understanding. The language of the Vedas can be revealed only by the above mentioned disciplic succession and not otherwise. There is no use in theories. Knowledge must be factual. There are many things that are complicated and one cannot understand them unless they are explained by one who knows. The Vedic knowledge is also very difficult to know and must be learned by the above mentioned system. Otherwise, it is not at all understood. Shukadev Goswami, therefore, prayed for the mercy of the Lord so that he might be able to repeat the very same message that was spoken directly by the Lord to Brahma, or what was directly spoken to Brahma to Narad. Therefore, the statements of creation explained by Shukadev Goswami are not at all, as the mundaners suggest, theoretical, but are perfectly correct. One who hears these messages and tries to assimilate them gets perfect information of the material creation. Thus, end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the second canto, fourth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Process of Creation. I'm Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Ajnanati Mirandasyat Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Larita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopi se Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhascha Kripa Sindhube Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Srila Prabhupada ki jai Guru Maharaj ki jai. This chapter is the last chapter of Canto 4. And Srila Prabhupada here has given a very amazing purport. But in the translation it says, "My dear King, Brahma, the firstborn, on being questioned by Narad, exactly appraised him on this subject, as it was directly spoken by the Lord to his own son. He was impregnated with Vedic knowledge from the very birth." So this is quite amazing that Brahmaji was... he appeared from the navel of Lord Vishnu. So he didn't have a mother. He just appeared from the navel and from the lotus flower of Sri Hari. Now, here it is stated that he was impregnated by Vedic knowledge from his very birth. Does it mean that he knew as soon as he was born? Did he know the Vedic knowledge? He did not. He went up and down on the stem looking for the answer that who he was, where did he come from, why was he here, and there was absolutely nothing. It was completely dark everywhere. So, it shows, isn't it, that when we appear in this world, we appear in total darkness until we inquire. And what did Brahma did? He was asking that, who am I? Where do I come from? And then the voice came, tap, 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 do the austerity. And he came back on his lotus flower and he performed austerity for a long time. And when he became qualified, the Lord appeared to him and imparted the knowledge in his heart. So this is the situation for all of us. Every living entity, in whichever body they are, we all are pure devotees, we all are spirit souls, and we all have this knowledge in us, because when we left our abode, our constitutional position in the abode of Sri Hari, we had that knowledge. But when Jivatma enters into the material realm, by the covering of three modes of material nature, the Rajogun, Tamogun, and Satogun, the Jivatma's mind, everything is covered by that, and the sense gratification kicks in, the self-enjoyment kicks in, and we are completely covered into this darkness until we come to the stage that we ourselves make an inquiry that actually, who am I? Here, any one of us have made that inquiry before we came to Krishna consciousness, that why am I in this family? Why this father is my father? Why this mother is my mother? Why am I here? What is my purpose? Knowingly or unknowingly, we all have had that question, that if my family is believing in certain things, where did they come from? How did they know? I mean, I had those questions, because from where I come, we were worshipping everybody. Everybody was God. All the demigods were God. Ram was God, Krishna was God, Lord Shiva was God. All the demigods were God. Anybody who came and spoke little bit about anything, Ramayana, Mahabharata, we considered them God, because that was the understanding. And this understanding is for general mass of people. But when we really inquire, when that desire starts burning within our hearts, that actually, who am I? Why am I believing in all these people? And those inquiry leads us to a personality who would be able to give us some answers. And at that time, a devotee enters our life. A saintly person would come into our path. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is stated that Brahmananda Brahmete Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Kripa Se Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. So, while roaming not only in this material realm, into the entire Brahmand, Kono Bhagyavan Jeev, one rare soul would meet a devotee. And then the Bhakti Lata Bij would be implanted. And when that happens, and when that tree starts growing, it takes many, many lifetimes. It is not that we met a devotee and we chant Hare Krishna. And I mean, it is possible, but sometimes it takes many, many lifetimes to come to the realization of self-realization. That when we actually have firm faith that only Sri Hari is my savior. And that's where Lord Krishna says to Arjun in Bhagavad Gita, that Bahunam Janma Ante Jnanavan Prabhadante Vasudeva Sarva Iti Mahatma Sudurlabham. That hey Arjun, after many, many lifetimes, Bahunam means many, many lifetimes. When someone comes to that level, that he understands that Vasudeva is my savior, he is my master, he is my everything. If I go to hell, it's because of Vasudeva. He is never going to leave me. When we come to that realization, at that point, this Vedic knowledge is properly imparted in us. Otherwise, we know it, we know of it, but do we really understand it? And if we understand it, do we really put it in practice? Do we apply it in our daily life? Do we? I don't. Because little calamity comes in our life and we collapse, we crumble. How many times we all have crumbled walking on this path of bhakti, walking on this path of life? Many times. But our only grace is that we are holding on to the lotus feet of sadhu, shastra and guru. If we do that, then we are saved. Then we have a hope. I don't know whether you all have seen it, But in India, even where I come from, in Kenya, we used to have this mortar, like two stones, and it's got a handle, it's got a hole in the middle, and you put grains. Who has seen them? Yeah. So you turn it round, and the grain becomes flour. So anyone who in this material world, we are going like this, and we are in the middle. We are crushed by our desire, by our sense gratification, by our not wanting to surrender. We are constantly crushed by Maya. And it's no fault of Mother Maya, because that is her job. She is Mother Durga. She is a prison warden. And we are all prisoners. So we are going to be punished. But the one I have seen, because in my childhood we used to use that mortar in my house. But some seeds, some grains of millet or wheat, they would be stuck near that handle up here before going down. Even if they are down, they would be stuck near that what you call that handle. And doesn't matter how much you grind, that wouldn't come out in the form of a flower. And at that time, I used to get annoyed that these are stuck here. Right? Because then I had to take them out and grind them again, so it was an endeavor. But over the years, and after listening to so many classes, those seeds were the lucky ones, that they were not grounded. They didn't come out as flower. They stayed intact. So it is in our interest that we hold on to the lotus feet of Guru and Gauranga, Sadhu, Shastra and Guru, and we will be saved. And if we want to be saved from this material world, that is our only hope. And today we are seeing that in other parts of the world, some lot of devotees are going through such a hard time in their life. But what is the inspiration that we are getting, particularly I am getting, that they are holding on to their Sankirtan, they are holding on to their association, and they are doing what they were doing before. Of course, everybody is worried. We all are seriously worried. And we must offer our sincere prayers to the Lord, to the Almighty Lord, for some peace in this world. So when we come to this Brahmaji, he is Veda Garbha. So he had this Vedic knowledge from the Garbha, from as soon as he was born. But he had to do some tapasya. He had to go through some austerity before this knowledge was imparted to him. It was impregnated to him while he was appearing. But he had to go through the austerity for the Lord to impart into him. And here Srila Prabhupada in this purport is making three points. So one of the points is that this knowledge, this Vedic knowledge, it comes through disciplic succession. And if we hear it through disciplic succession, then only we will hear it properly. Otherwise, we will go here, there and everywhere. So like a simple example, if we want to reach to Birmingham and if we come to the neck of M1, if we stick to M1, there are messages everywhere that Birmingham is this many miles away, this many miles away. So we are sure that we are on the right path. But if we go into the different little routes that comes along, we would be lost. So to have Vedic knowledge, to be Vedic knowledge imparted in our heart, we must be in the Guru Parampara system, and we must hear from the right sources. And that is why Srila Prabhupada has again and again and again he has said that read only my books. In the very beginning of my Krishna conscious life, I was not very happy about it. I used to think that why? Why we cannot read some other? Because I was so used to reading reading from every sources that came to me. In childhood, I used to go to library and get all sorts of books. Mahabharata, Ramayana, short stories, all of them. So that desire was there, but the understanding wasn't there. And Srila Prabhupada is saying over and over, read my books, because these books are coming from Guru Parampara, starting right from Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada is specifically saying here that without the sources, we will not understand. There is no way we can understand. We will be so confused, like many, many people are. And this is not only into the spiritual world. This is in the material world as well. If somebody wants to go and become a surgeon, say heart surgeon, they have to have a mentor who has understood the heart cent percent. To do a heart surgery, and it's a fine surgery, isn't it? You're playing with somebody's life. And when that body is on the operating theater, how much do we have faith in the person who is giving us anesthetic? We have full faith, isn't it, that he is going to do a perfect job because he or she has got perfect knowledge of what happens in the heart. And they have a mentor. In the beginning, the mentor would be standing there when the mentee would perform a surgery. But gradually, Shri Shri Radha Gokulanand ki jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. So on the operating theater, when they are performing this, the mentor would be there initially, but gradually the mentor would pull away because the mentor would have full faith in his or her mentee that now this person is capable of performing this surgery because the knowledge is being imparted and the knowledge has really been achieved and this person is going to apply. So in Vedas, this is what Srila Prabhupada is stating again and again, that Guru Parampara is the main route for a soul to understand why we are here, what we are supposed to do, what is our constitutional position. And the second statement Srila Prabhupada is making is that this knowledge has to be factual. There should not be any concoction. Isn't it? If there is concoction, then it defeats the whole purpose of us studying the Vedas, studying anything. So Srila Prabhupada is stating again in this purport that the knowledge must be factual. And how would the facts come? From somebody who has understood it. If we go in the street and when we are distributing books, and if somebody comes to us and says that I have read Bhagavad Gita, and if we start listening to that person, we would be confused because that person might not have understood or not have application in the life. So the factual knowledge is very important. And the third point Srila Prabhupada is making is that Shukadev Goswami is praying to the mighty Lord that may the Lord help him that he would repeat the same knowledge as above. So if Shukadev Goswami, who is the highest one of the 12 Mahajans, who is going to narrate Srimad Bhagavatam, if he is praying to the Supreme Lord for the mercy, that please give me the mercy that I can repeat, what to speak about us? We have to really fall on our feet, on the lotus feet of devotees, or on the lotus feet of Guru, so that we can be able to narrate, to convey the message which is factual, which is in line with Guru Parampara, and which is a repetition. But the repetition has to be with the knowledge and with understanding, because if we read and somehow intellectually we know all the slokas of Bhagavatam, all the slokas of Bhagavad Gita, but if the understanding is not there, then that knowledge will not bear any fruits. There is a little story in my language which I would like to say. It might not have the same essence, because when we speak in Gujarati, it has more. I understand it more, but I will try. So there was this forest, and in the forest there were a big colony of parrots. Now, what does the parrots do? Anybody? They repeat what we say. So a lot of parrots had got eggs in their nests, and the babies were born, they hatched, and there were little parrots, and they were going all sorts of noises. But the older parrots kept training them that, look, as when you grow up and when you are around, when you are flying, you have to watch that the hunter will come, he will spread the net on the ground, he will put grains on the ground, but don't go for the grains, because that net will take you away. So the hunter will come, he will spread the grains, and the net will be there. Don't go for the grains, because you will be caught. And this went on until they all grew up, and they all were repeating that. They all were speaking the same language. And as they grew older, they were flying, and the hunter was there. They had put all the grains, and there was net, and they were speaking like that, and they went for the grains. And what did the hunter do? Picked up the net, and he got the net, and they were hanging behind the hunter, and they all were saying the same thing. When the hunter will come, he will put the grains, he will put the net, don't go for the grains, otherwise you will be caught. So what does it say to us? Anybody? What does it say? Yeah, it's just a repetition without knowledge. So Srila Prabhupada is saying here that repetition must be in line with Guru Parampara. Repetition must be factual. And Vedas. So what are the Vedas? There are four Vedas: Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sam and Artha Veda. And each Veda has got four subdivisions, right? those divisions are Samhita, like we have Brahma Samhita, Manu Samhita, so all these Samhitas, Arankya, which are rituals, and how to perform the ceremonies. And Brahmans, who do the commentaries on these rituals, and the Upanishads. Now we might say that why do we need rituals? Why do we need all the rituals and understanding of that? This is because people are at different level. When one becomes a devotee and reaches certain stage, they don't need to have these rituals. How many of us have gone through life following so many different rituals at different times? But then when you come to understanding, then those rituals does not have, not significant for the mass people, but for devotees, those rituals are not of importance because their focus and their mind is constantly in serving the lotus feet of Guru and Gauranga. And in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, if somebody can do that, it's chapter 4, text number 1. Krishna says that Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavan Aham Avyayam Vaiveshwan Manava Paraha Manu Ikshvakur Bhavat. The personality of Godhead Lord Shri Hari Krishna says that I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god. And Viveshwan then gave it to Manu, and Manu gave it to Ikshvaku. And that Ikshvaku dynasty where Lord Ram appeared. Krishna said this to Arjun, but Krishna said this in the second chapter of, second sloka of chapter 4, the verse, second verse, that evam parampara praptam imam rajasayo vidu sakale namahata yoga nashra parantapa. That this knowledge I gave to sun god, and it was given in disciplic succession, but according to time, due to time, and as time went by, this knowledge was gone. This is Krishna is saying this to Arjun. And Krishna imparted this knowledge to Brahma. From Brahmaji, this knowledge came through Guru Parampara to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, through our Guru Maharaj, has imparted the knowledge to us. Now it is up to us individual how far we want to take this knowledge and how much do we want to apply in our life. So this knowledge has to be a repetition, but it has to be a repetition with understanding and application in life. This is my understanding of this this sloka, the last sloka of fourth chapter in Srimad Bhagavatam. And this chapter is the beginning of the next, because all this chapter 4 is glorification of Shukadev Goswami. Now Shukadev Goswami is going to answer further. Hare Krishna. If there are any questions, any comments, any correction, please. Hare Krishna. Okay. Thank you. Nobody has got any question or correction?
Hello.
Oh,
You reminded me when you said the purpose of life, what this human life is meant for. Actually, that was the first... I met a Prabhupada disciple who was going round on the Isle of Wight. And it was in evening thing I saw in the local county press. And it was the same evening I was looking in the local press. And I thought, it's about yoga. So I was interested in yoga. And it's Vedic astrology, it said as well. My mum was interested in astrology. So I went along. And the thing that took me from that thing, I was fascinated by the way he spoke. But not only that, he then asked that question, what is this human life meant for? And I was really captivated by that question. Just that one question. And it was an amazing breakthrough. Because before that, my connection with Krishna consciousness was Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. The record. Yeah. I was at the Isle of Wight Pop Festival at that time in 1970. And I was really attracted by it. I didn't know what it was, but I thought it was a wonderful record at that time. And I think that was the seed that was planted, actually, when I heard the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Not knowing, you know, and I look back now, it was a seed that was planted. That came later, and I met the Prabhupada disciple, and this was all later in life that I came to this lecture that was on the Isle of Wight. It was quite a spontaneous thing, and then when I went there, I thought, I'll hear more from him, and I got a chart done, and it was very, very near the mark. And then he gave me Bhagavad Gita as it is. It was then I was completely blown away. So what's this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? I found out what it was about.
Yes.
And it was an amazing thing. But what's this human form of life meant for? And that's what, as you say, Lord Brahma was doing. What's his life meant for? And... it was a very thing. I feel your lecture as an affirmation, but not only an affirmation, that it's confirming what we're doing is a wonderful thing. So I thank you for that. And it was a wonderful class, an inspiration for me. Thank you.
Thank you.
I like the example with the parents.
Yes.
That was so wonderful. So finding those
yes, and this is for all of us, not only parents, because all of us are like that, isn't it? Until we came, I mean, I can speak about myself, that until I came into the shelter of Srila Prabhupada, until I came here at the manor, I was all over the place. Anywhere anybody was going, any rituals, we were there. And we consider ourselves very good devotees. We called ourselves bhagats and all that. But then after coming here, it made us realize that actually we hadn't even started. And my inspiration in life was when we came here at the manor, the very first visit, it was His Holiness Shivaram Maharaj. Because from childhood, I wanted to know about Bhagavad Gita, but because I wasn't born in Brahmin family, we were not allowed. And after many, many decades, after many, many years, when we came here, by the grace of Dwarkapuri Prabhu, the very first day, Shivaram Maharaj was going to give Bhagavad Gita class. And we came here, paid our respect, took Charanamrit, and off we wanted to go home, like a lot of us did. But then Dwarka Prabhu said, wait, somebody's going to give Bhagavad Gita class. And we stayed because Bhagavad Gita class and my eyes were like that. Oh, I want to hear. And Shivram Maharaj walked. This is, I'm talking about 40 plus years ago. So you can imagine Shivram Maharaj, a tall personality, a sannyasi. He walked here and with that awe and reverence. And there was a Vyasasana here. And we were sitting right here. There were only two or three of us. And when he sat on the Vyasasana, myself and my husband, we looked at each other and we said, we were very, very offensive. We said, what is this Doryo, means white person, going to talk about our Bhagavad Gita? Whereas we had never ever opened Bhagavad Gita, but we had that pride that we are in Hindus and Bhagavad Gita belongs to us. But when His Holiness Shivram Maharaj started speaking, we felt like mosquito. We did. And that was our starting point of our journey in ISKCON. His Holiness Shivram Maharaj ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samved Bhaktavrinda ki jai. All glories to devotees. Hare Krishna.